We are having ongoing internal discussions about how we can play the most effective role in supporting the large number of refugees who are coming out of Ukraine.
Reuniting Ukrainian families in the U.S. It's Wednesday, March 23rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, political asylum challenges. Ending North Korea's isolation. High-tech fragrance creation. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Ukraine says it retook a strategically important suburb of Kyiv as Russian forces squeezed other areas near the capital and pressed their attack on the embattled southern port of Mariupol. But the Kremlin's ground offensive in other parts of the country advanced slowly or not at all, knocked back by lethal hit-and-run attacks by the Ukrainians. Meanwhile, Ukrainians with relatives in the United States are finding it challenging to reunite with them in a time of war. Human rights advocates are now pushing the Biden administration to expedite the process to reunite refugees with relatives in the U.S. VOA's Tatiana Vorosko and Alina Barros have the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
As the third week of Russia's invasion in Ukraine came to an end, more than 3 million people have left the country, nearly half of them children, according to UN data. While the majority have temporarily settled in Poland and other European countries, some are trying to reach relatives in the U.S.
For Ukrainians who have family here in the U.S., there is a system of family reunification under the Lautenberg program. It essentially allows those who have family here to apply and to reunify here in the U.S. For those who do not have a U.S. family tie, they still have access to the refugee resettlement system.
On March 11th, President Biden said the U.S. will, quote, welcome the Ukrainian refugees. We should welcome them here with open arms if they need access, end of quote. However, the refugee resettlement process can take years, and as of mid-March, the U.S. has only admitted a few hundred Ukrainian refugees. In response, the White House says they are discussing ways to streamline the process.
We are having ongoing internal discussions about how we can play the most effective role in supporting the large number of refugees who are coming out of Ukraine.
With nothing certain yet on the table, Krish O'Meara Vignaraja, CEO of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, says human rights activists have been pushing the administration to make the process easier and faster.
We have been calling for an expedite of those applications that are in the pipeline currently for families who are reuniting here in the U.S. They already have their paperwork submitted. We believe that they should be allowed to travel to the U.S. and to complete the application process while they're here.
Some have been tempted to apply for U.S. tourist visas, but that, say immigration lawyers, is a violation of the law. Applying for political asylum is also not an option for Ukrainian refugees, since they're not being persecuted by their government or their country, or a group of people in their country. What needs to be done instead is to go through the process of refugee resettlement or obtain humanitarian parole, which is a special permission granted to people seeking to enter the U.S. under emergency circumstances.
Obviously, the tourist visa is not engineered to respond to a humanitarian crisis. And so we believe that there are other systems, whether it's refugee resettlement, asylum, or humanitarian parole, which are the more proper pathways.
President Biden has set the refugee ceiling for this year at 125,000, saving some 10,000 slots for refugees coming from Europe and Central Asia, an area that includes Ukraine. But the White House says that number can be increased if needed. While the U.S. is not welcoming the large numbers of Ukrainian refugees, it is providing economic assistance to the countries that do, such as Poland and other European countries. VOA News, Washington.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Experts say herd immunity and vaccinations needed as COVID restrictions relaxed in Hong Kong. U.S. expands travel bans on Chinese officials for persecution. Report says Facebook fails to detect hate against Rohingya. Asians breathing world's most dangerous air. New Zealand suspends Antarctic patrol ship project, cites COVID budget impact. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. Ukrainian and Russian citizens are descending on the Mexican border city of Tijuana to request political asylum in the United States. With Vicente Calderon in Tijuana, VOA's Mike O'Sullivan reports that many Ukrainians are able to cross the border, while Russian citizens are having a harder time.
Dozens of Russians and Ukrainians camped out in recent days on the Mexican side of the border, both groups hoping to be admitted to the United States to claim asylum status. The Ukrainians are mostly gaining entry to file their claim. Following a U.S. Customs and Border Protection memo dated March 11th urging they be considered for exemptions to Title 42. That's a public health provision invoked by former President Donald Trump that makes it difficult for people to enter the United States to claim asylum. Trump cited the threat of COVID-19, but critics allege it was intended to curb the flood of asylum seekers from Central America and Haiti. The measure is still in force under President Joe Biden. There was no mention of Russians in the memo, however, although both groups at the border say they oppose Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. A Russian from St. Petersburg, who was here with his wife and two children, says he cannot believe what is happening. Russian Evgeny Yarin.
War is a mass murder of people. Ukraine is defending its sovereignty now. But in any case, innocent civilians are dying in the 21st century. It shouldn't be happening these days, because people shouldn't wage wars in the 21st century. People can do better.
Tijuana officials have been pleading with the Russian migrants to leave the crowded sidewalk near the border crossing while U.S. authorities consider their cases. Saturday, Tijuana's mayor said the migrants agreed and would be relocated to a hotel. The war weighs heavily on the minds of both Ukrainians and Russians. A Ukrainian software engineer wonders how far Russian President Putin will go. 26-year-old Ukrainian Krylo Sokolov.
I concern not only about nuclear weapon of Russia, I concern about nuclear station in Ukraine.
Russian soldiers in Ukraine have seized Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. Many Russians hoping to cross the border are long-term dissidents who came to Mexico as tourists while flights between Russia and much of Europe were being canceled. Anton, a university professor in Russia, says a dark fate awaits him, his wife, and others if they return.
It seems we are more like really criminals in Russia, potentially, and it all depends on how long Putin's regime will live on.
Escaping a war with no end in sight, or a country that is increasingly intolerant of dissent, with people from both sides hoping for asylum. With Vicente Calderon in Tijuana, Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News.
Still to come on VOA Asia, why international isolation could worsen North Korea's human rights violations. Happening now in Asia, search and rescue workers have found mud-stained personal effects, but no survivors, among the wreckage of a China Eastern plane that crashed into a mountainside Tuesday with 132 people on board. Stay up to date with VOA, you're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. A United Nations investigator is calling for an end to North Korea's international isolation, warning continued exclusion will prolong the country's worsening human rights violations. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UN investigator Thomas Ojea Quintana says North Korea locked itself away from the rest of the world at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. He says this complete isolation has coincided with a new cycle of missile tests and tensions on the Korean Peninsula. He says he believes the ongoing deterioration of the country's human rights situation is linked to its ever-increasing isolation from the international community. He warns that a new cycle of escalation and tensions on the Korean Peninsula could rapidly and dangerously destabilize the region.
The current situation in Ukraine and other armed conflicts remind us of the devastation brought about by war. In my view, a diplomatic approach towards peace and decolonization of the Korean Peninsula, which builds upon previous negotiations and is combined with proactive engagement on the human rights situation, is the only way forward.
Quintana says the government's oppressive control of the population has tightened under the country's COVID-19 border shutdown and travel restrictions. He says the government of President Kim Jong-un has instituted many draconian measures, such as the system of arbitrary detention without fair trial guarantees, to maintain effective control of the population.
There is widespread fear of arbitrary arrest and mistreatment in detention, especially for those forcibly repatriated, including detention in Kwan Liso, the political prison camps. These political prison camps represent the worst excesses of a system of governance that systematically violates the human rights of its people.
Quintana says chronic food insecurity is widespread, affecting 41% of the country's population. He says malnutrition remains a leading cause of maternal and child mortality. He warns vulnerable populations may face acute hunger and starvation if the current situation persists. The UN experts pleads for the government to enact policies to improve the dire condition of its people fell on deaf ears. North Korea boycotted the meeting. It did not bother to respond. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Finally on VOA Asia, perfumers can spend months and sometimes even years developing and perfecting new fragrances. Some tech startups are betting on artificial intelligence to create unique custom-blended scents in minutes. But will customers like what they smell? VOA's Tina Trin reports.
If the commercials are any indication, the world's most popular perfumes are less about the scent and more about the feelings they evoke. They're a whole mood.
Number 5. Chanel.
Anahita Mechanic is a scent designer and the co-founder of Every Human, the maker of Algorithmic Perfumery, a machine that combines user input and artificial intelligence.
It allows every human to create their custom scent based on who they are and how they feel in the moment.
But for such a subjective medium, will customers like what they smell? The process kicks off with an extensive personality and preferences questionnaire. Algorithms process the data and come up with 3 perfume formulations.
We also ask you to provide feedback. Did I like this one? Did it match me, etc.? And it's through that feedback loop that we're learning and that we're seeing, okay, this algorithm seems to be learning faster or predicting better.
Ooh, I like it. Nice.
Users can continue to adjust the formulations in the app, making new scents to suit their tastes. Malik Khan is a customer at the pop-up.
I think that's part of the whole fun of it, right? You get to just let your mind run free with it all and just see where it all takes you.
Every Human isn't the only company bringing technology to the world of fragrance. Ninu Perfume is a so-called smart fragrance bottle containing 3 interchangeable vials that allow for 100 different scent combinations. With an app, users can create new combinations on the spot, adjusting for various settings and moods.
When it comes to something, again, as personal as scent, you know best what you like. You don't need to be professionally trained to know that I don't like this, and I do like this.
And technology may just be able to lend a helping spritz. Tina Trin, VOA News.
That's all for VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook, VOA Asia, on Twitter at VOA Asia, and on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascio in Washington. Bye now.